Welcome to the On Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, continuing part two from part one of the earlier podcast in which we discussed a lot of the Eastern Conference draft grades, what we thought, the Jason Kidd stuff, whatever's going on. This is going to be Western Conference, this is going to be free agency, and I'm still joined by Matt Moore.
Okay, I have to be careful so I don't get my press pass revoked. The Denver Nuggets.
I like Nurkic more than you do, but I also understand the concerns with him. I like Gary Harris, but I like him a lot more if you haven't just traded for Aaron Aflalo.
There were two guys in this draft that I could, because I tried really hard to basically find the good side of almost every player in this draft.
Yeah.
I tried very hard to basically just like see what it is that people were saying about them, so I could understand both the limitations and the good side. So I'd be balanced about it. I didn't want another Drummond situation in which I focused so much on the fact that he was a head case at UConn and missed out on the fact that he's a beast, right?
Yeah.
The two guys I couldn't get around were Nick Stauskas, who generally every scout, GM, personnel guy I talk to loves.
Yeah.
And Yusuf Nurkic was the other guy because, one, I am – let's just go ahead and say it. There's – if you call me a basketball xenophobe, I don't have a whole lot of way to argue with you. I don't like that perception, and I definitely don't have that same issue with certain – it's player by player, and there are lots of exceptions. Like, I'm very high on Clint Capella, who's European – or not European, but he's international. Dante Exum is international. I think he's going to be great. Bogdan Bogdanovic, I'm very high on. I think that Yusuf Nurkic is a guy who looks good specifically in EuroLeague games, and I think when he gets to the kind of speed, pace, and mobility that the modern NBA requires, he is going to struggle like nothing else. He is 2 years away from being able to contribute. Tim Connelly's admitted as such.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure even when he gets to that point how good he's going to be able to be, because I'm not sure you can keep him on the floor with any team that gets up and down.
Well, I mean, you can say the same thing about Nikola Pekovic, right? And that's like, you don't have to think Peck is great, but like Peck is a good NBA player.
Right.
And he had the same concerns when he was being drafted and when he was going to come over. And in his first year, I mean, Peck was so bad in his first year, I thought this guy will never play in the NBA past the season. I mean, he was horrendous. And they have similar games. Like the power guys, they're methodical, they're slow, they have predictable moves, but their size allows them to get that move off, you know. And they have the same limitations on defense. I think they can both own the boards when, you know, fight off multiple rebounders and get rebounds. But there is a very defined ceiling with those kind of guys, especially in today's NBA. So if you are fine building a roster, not around them, but with that in mind, I think you can do it properly. And I think they can be very useful players, but they're not guys you can just plug into any team.
One thing on Harris, I tried to rearrange the draft in my mind, which is I like the move to get more picks that I like inherently, because yeah. I didn't feel like there was anybody at 11 they had to get. And then if they'd taken 16 Harris and 19 Nurkic, I'd probably been like, oh, well, the 16 pick was Gary Harris, and that's good, and then 19, whatever. But because they took Nurkic first, it just sticks with me.
Sure.
I like getting Harris at value at 19. I actually like the fact that they got a Aflalo, because now they're not going to be pressing a young guy to work in a team that's got a lot of veterans that don't want to put up with young guys, especially not right now after last year. There was a lot of consternation in that locker room about how many young guys they were having to deal with. Also, and I talked to Tim Connelly about this at a Aflalo's press conference. They're legitimately three deep now at all five positions.
Yeah.
And it may not be – they don't have stars. They don't have great guys, but they have starter caliber guys at each spot. Lawson, Aflalo, Gallinari, Kenneth Faried, and Timofey Mozgov, let's say. and they're legitimately – and they have depth with JaVale McGee, J.J. Hickson, Gary Harris, Wilson Chandler, Randy Foy, Nate Robinson. Like, they are legitimately three deep at nearly every position. The other thing with Harris, with his size, I thought was interesting. One of the guys told me, like, well, if you look at it, his shot release is actually really pure and it's actually really quick. And and we feel like he's going to be able to get the shot up over closing defenders. And he's like, you know who actually knows a lot about how to get shots up over closing defenders? Aaron Aflalo. And I was like, all right. Aflalo is really happy to be back too. I was kind of like, is he really want to be here? And from talking to him, I genuinely believe that he thinks that he wants to be there. I'm not sure that they're a playoff team. but it was okay. I like your grade of C+. I think that's what I gave him actually on the show too.
Yeah, I think like I like the Jokic pick in the second round. I think that's a solid guy to stash and maybe bring over in a few years. I think Nurkic can work, but you have to build a certain kind of roster with that in mind. And I like Harris behind Aflalo to learn.
They also don't want to, like, they, part of it's also, like, I'm all about going young and going for upside, and that's not where this team or the ownership or management is. Like, they want to be good and then trade to get better. Yep. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And whether you think that's sustainable or not is a really good question, but that's kind of the plan. So it didn't really make sense for them to go all in with this draft. They also didn't have the roster spots.
Right.
They just don't have the spots.
Right.
Rockets with Capella, I like it.
Yeah, I like that move.
Nick Johnson will do well in their D-League system. He'll excel there.
Yeah, he'll turn into a guy that they can put on their team in a couple of years. And
are the Clippers ever going to have enough wings ever?
That's what I don't understand. It's like the rumor before was they're going to move the 28th pick because they want athletic wings, right?
Right.
And I'm like, all right, well, you've got a lot of wings. Like you've got Barnes, and you've got Redick, and you've got Dudley, and you've got Crawford, and they had Willie Green at the time, and you just drafted Reggie Bullock last year, and then they take Wilcox. I like Wilcox. I think he's the second best shooter in the draft. I think he's a better shooter than Doug McDermott. But, like, you have two big men under contract.
Right.
And you had big men that were worthy of being drafted there. And so is Wilcox, like, when is Wilcox going to play for them? So why not grab a big man who can at least, like, you don't have to say like this is our third big man, but you can say like, all right, if we strike out in free agency, we can just grab a couple of guys off the scrap heap and we can develop this guy. And this guy going against Blake Griffin every day in practice, that's going to improve him or show us that he can't play at all.
What happened to Reggie Bullock? Reggie Bullock looked pretty good last year.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like Reggie, you already have CJ Wilcox. His name is Reggie Bullock. I know
they're talking to Thabo Sefolosha too.
Right, like there's just too many. Yeah, they got rid of Willie Green, but there's too many wings.
Like Doc's turning into. I know these people that are basically they're distantly related to me, and
he's a hoarder.
Yeah, they're apocalypse nuts. They hoard canned food. That's what Doc's doing, only with wings. Like, when the cockroach people come, we will ward them back with my army of long, thin shooters.
Oh, yeah, I like Wilcox, but I just didn't understand it from Lakers. I love their draft. I thought they had a perfect
just
draft.
Just killed it.
Perfect draft.
It's really weird because, like, I'm really excited for Julius Randle. Who I genuinely love. I like him specifically. I think he's the one guy, as long as the foot is healthy in time for training camp, I think he's going to go into the first day of camp and just impress the hell out of Kobe. I think Kobe's going to come away being like, that kid gets it.
Well, especially because he's going to be playing against D-League guys. So that's going to make him look even better.
How dare you talk about Powell that way?
Oh, that's so mean. I love Randle. Like, I just... And I was on – what was I on? I was on with Scott Farrell on Farrell on the Bench. And he was like, is Randle going to be okay with Kobe? I was like, oh, God, yeah. I was like, he's going to take everything Kobe – like, Kobe's going to be hard on him. He's going to absorb it all. He's going to turn it into motivation. He has the mindset where he can deal with whatever punishment Kobe throws his way psychologically. And it's like, as long as that foot is healed, that guy is perfect for their rebuilding.
Jordan Clarkson in 4 years is getting – The next Lakers contract.
He's getting the Meeks treatment.
He's getting that guy. Like I actually thought about that yesterday. I was like, could Jordan Clarkson be legitimately better than Jody Meeks in 4 years? Yes, Jordan Clarkson could definitely be better than Jody Meeks in 4 years.
Absolutely. Because he can dribble basketball.
The Grizzlies.
I do not understand this draft. I like Stokes in the second round, but I like Stokes anywhere.
It's obviously not a design, but Gary Parrish lives in Memphis, has been there his whole life. And I'm a Grizz guy, so having us both on the draft show when this happened is kind of rough.
It was fun to listen to.
Because both of us were trying really hard not to just be like, what the are you doing? Like the when we went to commercial, our crew was like, guys, mics are hot, mics are hot, mics are hot.
I am much higher on Jordan Adams than you are. I think he's a first-round guy. They have three shooting guards already. Why are you grabbing Jordan Adams if you have three shooting guards under contract?
I get the idea is, you know, like you can never have too much perimeter shooting with how bad Memphis is at it. I get that. They needed a wing. Rodney Hood was there. They needed a wing.
Yeah.
You have got to have a guy that you can say, we are dumping Tayshaun Prince because we have a better option.
Well,
we have a better option long term.
Yeah, especially Hood is a better shooter than Adams. Like, that's not even close.
Yep.
And he's a better scorer. And he's not as good of a defender, but I think long term he'll be as good of a defender. Especially, like, throw him under Jaeger for a couple years. I think it'll be great.
Over under on Tony Allen out of time or going into timeout, head slaps slash chest bumps with Jarnell Stokes is like 50.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to happen a lot.
Like, Tony's going to love that kid.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. You have Tony Allen, you have Courtney Lee, and you have Jamal Franklin. And I think Adams is probably right away better than Franklin, but it's close. And it's like, why are you grabbing the same guy in back-to-back drafts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it at all. I mean, I gave him a C-plus strictly because they got Stokes at 35.
Otherwise, I mean, a lot of that's probably that Levian liked Franklin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And Wallace probably likes. Also, I have to commend Chris Wallace on not taking Clay Anthony early, a athletic player out of Kansas. Granted, it's not KU, but it's still there. That's a bold move for him, and yeah. I am impressed that he didn't, because, and I don't blame him for it. KU produces a lot of good players, but that guy loves KU, so. Though I am really surprised that all of your Timberwolves people hate Zach LaVine.
Oh, don't even get me started on those people, on the Timberwolves people. I'm not gonna go into that. But I like LaVine. Like, there's this idea that he's like a bad guy to have on your team. Like, he played behind Steve Alford's kid when he's clearly better than this guy. He didn't complain. He just went there. He tried to get better. He didn't let his ego get in the way. Does he take some bad shots? Yeah. Is his jumper a little funky? Yeah. But he's a good shooter. Yeah. He can jump out of the gym, and he's got, like, that's the thing. This team is going to get torn apart. Hopefully, more realistically, they're going to trade for Klay Thompson and David Lee and overextend themselves financially for a team that's the 11th seed. But eventually, this team has to get torn apart, and so LaVine is one of those guys where not only does he have the potential to become a pretty good player in the NBA, but he also is an exciting guy for the rebuild process. And so I would have rather they take Adrian Payne. I would have rather them take Rodney Hood. I would have rather them take Gary Harris. I would have rather them take Kyle Anderson. But I'm not mad that they got LaVine. I think he's good.
I agree. I think the idea of having a guy that's got a lot of skill and athleticism next to Rubio is a good thing. I think I really like that combination.
By the way, he can run the backup point.
Yeah.
And they don't want to, like, fans don't want J.J. Barea out there. Well, would you rather have LaVine or Barea? Also, by the way, this isn't a team that's going to be good. So right. What do you want on that team? I like Glenn Robinson III in the second round. I mean, the Flip said he wanted to get more athletic on the wings, and he did that. Whether that's the correct decision or not, like, that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he got. They sold off, you know, second-round picks after that. But, like, yeah, all right, they got two guys who are pretty good, like, relative to where they were selected. I'm fine with that.
It's too bad because you and I are in the same place on this, which, like, the team needs to – I mean
– Oh, just if you're tear not, it down.
If you're not going to trade Rubio, you legitimately need to be like – you tore your ACL and have him be like, no, I'm fine. No, you tore your ACL. Change your face. He needs to sit. Pekovic needs to sit. Like, they just need to, because they do need the guy. Like, that's the right. They're in that same place where somebody, it's weird because I genuinely feel like there's a ton of talent in this league. And a lot of it's because the superstars have accumulated different places, but there are so few teams that have the guy, and so many teams need it, you know? Like, yeah. Especially in the West. Like, there's a bunch of teams that just, like, especially in the Northwest division, actually.
Yes,
like,
that division is quite good now.
Like, Denver, Utah, and Minnesota all need the guy, and none of them have it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird. The Pelicans got Russ Smith. I'm fine with it. They need.
Yeah, they traded Pierre Jackson for him. I think he's better than Pierre Jackson. Good move. Yeah.
So there you go. I did not like the Thunder.
I guess I get what they were doing. I like Samaj Kristen.
I trashed Steven Adams last year, so I gotta, like, be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Steven Adams wasn't an NBA player, and I was clearly wrong about that. And instantly, when you saw him in the preseason, you're like, oh, no, this guy's good. Like, this guy can play, and he's very good. I like Mitch McGarry. I would like him better without the back injury. and just, I mean, for what they have, like, all right, you've got Perk, you've got Collison, you've got Ibaka, you've got Steven Adams. Why do you have McGarry? Yeah. You know? I didn't think Josh Huestis? I can't remember. I don't know how you say his name. I didn't think he was a guy that should be drafted. And he went 29th.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of him either. I mean, I get the defensive upside, but you had guys that have good defensive upside in him and are also shooters at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got Perry Jones, who I'm not huge on, but whatever, I get it. And you've got Andre Roberson, who I love. Like, you don't need this guy.
They're always very committed to basically, if their pick is like past 20, they're never going to take a guy who's older. So Cole Anthony Early was out. Like, they're always going to be like, we're going to take a reach. We'd rather reach for a guy and hope he develops. The idea with McGarry, I've heard a lot, is that they're basically like, he's going to take Nick Collison's spot when Nick Collison gets moved.
Yeah.
Either free agency or trade.
And he'll be good. Like, I think he'll be a really good backup big man. It just seemed like they had needs that could be filled there.
The Suns, you give him a B.
Yeah, I don't really get it. Like, I like the guys they got. This is kind of like the Magic. Like, I like the guys they got individually, but I don't totally get how it works into their team.
What if you swap drafts
with them and the Magic?
Yeah,
that'd be stellar. I'd love it for both teams.
Right, like Elfrid Payton as a backup point guard behind the two combo guards.
Yeah,
and then Aaron Gordon as your legit three.
Yeah,
and then for Orlando, you get Tyler Ennis that can play point with Oladipo and shoot a little bit.
Yeah,
and Bogdanovich, who I think is gonna be great.
Yeah, when he comes over, if he comes over right away or in a couple of years, like I love him. I think he's
and
so
then
good.
TJ Warren basically lets you trade Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, like, let's just swap those two and then we're done.
Yeah, I don't like. For me, the thing with Warren is, will he get a 3-point shot?
Yeah.
If he gets that, I love the pick. If he doesn't get that, I still like it, but man, you could have gone better.
One thing to consider, though, is he is in the – if you want to improve your 3-point shot, there's like three places in the league to go: San Antonio, Houston, and Phoenix.
This developmental staff and this coaching staff got Gerald Green to be an impact player.
Yeah.
Like, they can do it.
I actually really like drafting Ennis there, too. I just like the idea of, one, it guards against in case Bledsoe leaves, and two – I like the fact that they're not going to be – like, they were running Ish Smith out at backup point. Ish actually played really well last year, but I like them having a bit of a long-term stable option there too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, let's talk Kings.
I love Nick Stauskas. Best shooter
after,
in the draft.
After I was attacked by Michigan fans.
You were.
It got bad. It got bad, man.
Yeah. Yeah, those Michigan fans don't play.
I gave him a D-, and it's. I think it's mostly just I'm not a Stauskas guy, and I've said this for months, which is I got asked on a couple of radio shows, who's a guy that you think is going to prove you wrong, like that could prove you wrong, which is a weird question, but I got a couple times, and I was like, it's Nick Stauskas, because I don't think he can play in the league. I legitimately don't think he has a spot, man. Because I think if you're a guard, you have got to be quick. And I don't see any sort of speed or quickness with him.
In terms of pure shooting ability, like, I honestly think, this isn't me trying to be hyperbolic, like, in terms of pure shooting, I think he has Curry potential. Now, he'll never be the ball handler. He'll never be as quick as Curry. You know, he's got to try to find a way to be that from a shooting guard position. And he's not a ball-dominant guy. He can dribble. Like, he can make plays, but he's not that guy. He's not even close to that guy. But just in terms of shooting, like, I mean, this is a stat that I threw out there on my ranking the top shooters. Like, on guarded catch-and-shoot jumpers, he had an effective field goal percentage of 67.
That's impressive.
Like, you can't bother him on closeouts. And that's what I love about him. That's why and with this Kings team, like, I just think, like, there is no direction for this franchise right now and this roster. They're just grabbing whatever they can, and I like that because then you can kind of weed out what fits and what doesn't for you. So, yeah, they have him and they have McLemore, and that's two guys at the same position who probably can't coincide next to each other, but you can kind of determine which one you'd rather have and then move that other guy for what you need.
And a lot of my hammering was where he was drafted. I think he'd be a pretty decent pick at 16. I just didn't like him as high as 8, and I looked at, like, Vonleh was there. They had other players. You know, I like Harris better than him, even if you want to say they're even.
Oh, yeah, I like Harris better than him. Yeah, I agree with that stuff.
Like, that's fine. Like, I would have liked that, like Doug McDermott there. I would have loved Zach LaVine there. There were just other guys I wish that they would have gotten at that spot. But, again, it's just mostly a matter of I don't like Nick Stauskas. And it could be a guy like Steven Adams where I trash him, and then within 3 weeks of the season I'm like, whoops. I'm just wrong on some of these draft guys. I never pretend to be 100%.
So. It will be interesting to see if he can be a playmaker relative to his position. That I don't
raise your hand if you're surprised the Spurs got Kyle Anderson.
Oh my God. This,
how do you let this happen, league?
Yeah.
Like, 3 years from now when he's murdering you in a playoff series, I hope you're happy.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, you just turn to that team and just say, you did this to yourself.
Exactly. Like, how do you let that go?
Oh my God. Like, put him under Popovich for 2 seasons. What is he like? And then you throw him next to Kawhi.
Right.
Like, even like, all right, this isn't superstar level, although, you know, you can say Kawhi might end up being a superstar, but a front court of Kawhi, Anderson, and Splitter in 3 years?
Yep.
That's damn good.
Yep.
My God.
Loved Utah.
Great, great draft. Draft could not have gone better for them.
When I accepted the fact that somebody was going to get Exum who wasn't LA, and so in in 8 years, they're going to lose him.
Right.
But the next 8 years should be really fun. Like, yeah. You know, Trey Burke, and I think it's going to create a little bit of consternation, right? Because either Trey Burke, who came in with a lot of momentum and hype, is going to have to fall behind him, or they're going to have to move Alec Burks, which is what I hope they do. I think they can get good value for Burks.
Yeah.
And actually, an interesting trade would be Alec Burks to Houston for one of their power forwards.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that. Yeah,
that would be a good win for both sides. And then, like, Hood falls all the way to 23, and I love that Utah was like, "Yeah, no, we'll go ahead and take that guy."
Yeah.
Thanks for the high, like, the Duke player that has great athleticism and can hit from the outside.
Oh, yeah, he's so good. I mean, he was a guy that I've been on all season. Like, he's so good. Rodney Hood is awesome.
I like where they're headed.
They've got a great young core, whether they keep Gordon Hayward or not.
All right, so that's kind of the question with the Jazz, right? All right, free agency has begun, and it is a kind of a fascinating world in which we're living. Most people are waiting on Melo and LeBron.
Yeah.
A lot of delay with that.
Especially Jeremy Lin.
Some stuff is moving, and one of the things that's kind of out there is, so the Celtics are interested in Gordon Hayward. The Cavaliers decided to get really aggressive, and they're thinking about extending a max offer sheet for Hayward.
Yeah.
Some Jazz fans and lots of Cavs fans have argued with me this morning that he's worth it. I don't see how you can look at a guy that shot 40% from the field last year, 30% from three, and say that guy deserves a max contract. I'm not saying that I don't like Gordon Hayward. I think he does. We're just talking about the max. I'm talking about a difference of he's the max for him would start at 14.5,
yeah,
and I think would extend up to as much as 16. I'm talking about like 12 extending up to like 14. So
see, here's where I disagree with you is that the market, he and Klay Thompson both can get max deals, right? I would much rather have Gordon Hayward on a max than Klay Thompson, and I think that you saw Gordon Hayward last year as the guy on Utah. And that was the guy that teams were going to stop. And that was the guy that defenses keyed in on. And if you stopped him, you know, the Jazz really didn't have a shot at beating you. And because they just weren't good. And so, yeah, he shot 40% from the field. He shot 30% from three. Like, those are awful percentages for someone who shot as much as he did. But he's never going to be the guy anymore. Like, if he goes to Phoenix on a max deal, or if he goes to Cleveland on a max deal, or even if Utah matches that max deal, I don't think he's going to be the main guy for the majority of that contract. And so I don't think he's going to get the same defensive, you know, attention that he got before. And I think that, I mean, the previous year he shot 41% from three. You know, like, I guess you have to decide what is the correct year for him. Is it, do you believe the 41% or do you believe the 30? Me personally, I believe the 41. And if you're getting the playmaking, the rebounding, the scoring with, you know, 38 to 41% on three-point range, like, that's a max deal to me. And I don't think it's close. So I guess it's what percentage do you believe? And if you don't believe in that, in the good shooting, like, that's fine. Like, there's evidence that would support that. But that's my thinking behind it.
When I wrote the free agents, and I wrote a lot about free agents over the last 6 days, I said he's a jack of all trades, master of none. He's not exceptional in any area. And that, to me, I think is kind of a – that, to me, is a qualifier for getting a max kind of deal. Sure. You've got to be great at something. And he's a good passer and a good rebounder and a good scorer and a good teammate and a good leader and is athletic and is skilled. But he's not exceptional in any particular area. And without that, I don't know that you can put that kind of investment on your cap sheet. Especially for me, I guess the deal is – I like it for Cleveland. I don't mind it for Cleveland because it shows to me that Cleveland is saying, we're not going to try and skip ahead.
Right.
We're not going to try and get a veteran. We're not going to try and win now. We understand LeBron is not coming here. That's dead. We've got an innovative coach that's going to bring ball movement and a smart way of doing things. And we're going to play a dynamic scoring point guard with an athletic super freak wing with a – really well-rounded, strong, capable, versatile guy that can play on or off ball, and Gordon Hayward, Tristan Thompson, and Harrison Barrageau. And we're going to win. We're going to work towards winning that way. That's how we're going to do things. I like that approach a lot better. For Utah, I look at it and I say, you're not anywhere. You are stuck between rebuilds. You started to rebuild after Darren left. But you had so many good players that were on decent deals, you couldn't tear it down. And so you let the Millsap Jefferson era fade out, and then you're now in this other rebuild. But the problem is now you're at this point in this rebuild because you never really tore it down. You just gave Favors a substantial upgrade, and now you're looking at tying up, what, close to 30 million, $25 to $30 million between Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward. And that's going to limit what you can do down the line, and it means you have to prioritize those guys. It means that if you get somebody better, it gets kind of weird because then it's like, well, you're paying Gordon Hayward all this money, and yet Dante Exum is your best player or whoever it is that they get. And so to me, they're going a lot of directions at once, and I don't like franchises to be in that place.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I mean, I love it. Like, I do love it if the Cavs somehow ended up with him. He's your third best player in the next 2 years, right? Like, in 2 years, you have Kyrie, you have Wiggins, and then you have Hayward as your third best player. And if he's a third best player on the team, that's fantastic. Like, that is a legitimate playoff danger. But if he ends up being the second guy on Utah, I mean, I guess the problem is that there is no legitimate first guy on Utah yet. Maybe Exum becomes that guy. I don't think Favors becomes that guy at all. I'm not big on Favors at all. I don't think he's bad. I watch him on offense. I'm just like, oh my God, this is a guy that you're going to commit to for the next 5 years. Like, that's just scary to me. And I'm fully prepared to be wrong about him. It's not like a hot take of this guy's never going to be anything. I watch him on offense. I just like, oh my God, he has to be perfect on defense.
It would have been nice if they just like, if he had a running partner and had some stability in his career. Yeah. Because the problem was with the Jazz, it was like, oh, he's a guy that can just do a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I'm like they basically needed to get it to where he's a good pick. They need to get him into a good pick and roll player with Exum or Burke. He needs to have something that's like his go-to, something that he does consistently. Because otherwise he's a guy that does things. And he does a lot of stuff and he's athletic, but – he needs to be able to do something, and I think that's problematic.
I think with him, like, he can do stuff, but you never know what that stuff's going to be game to game, right? And so I think it's hard to plan that way because of that.
And I think I would have actually really liked if they'd done the number five in Favors for the number one. I actually would have liked that quite a bit.
Yeah, that would be good.
I feel like Cleveland would have gotten good value on that.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Melo. What do you think about Melo?
I still think he's going to Chicago.
Me too.
I think that's the best move for him. I really do.
They met from like 11 in the morning until like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And the Rockets and Mavericks get a half day with him.
Although, Lala, not happy about leaving New York reportedly.
Yeah, but I'm also kind of like, girl, like Chicago, Chicago's great.
Yeah.
Why are you... You know, like it's not. You're not going. He's not going. He's not visiting Milwaukee. Like, you know, this ain't even Denver. It's Chicago.
Milwaukee listeners. Milwaukee listeners of the podcast can tweet Matt at Matt Moore CBS.
Or even Dallas. Like, if she wants to be like, I don't want to go to a hot redneck state. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, Texas is a redneck state. It just is. Yeah. It's not a redneck city, but it's a redneck state.
I do love the idea of him in Dallas, though.
Yeah, kind of. The more I started thinking about it, I was like, man, Carlisle could do some stuff. Especially, we should talk. I love the trade so much.
It's great.
Just loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Me and my Jose Calderon hating ass just loved it.
Yeah, I don't understand the Calderon hate. I guess it's the xenophobic party that you talked about earlier. He can't defend, but I just like, especially throw him in the triangle. I think he's a perfect triangle point guard.
Yeah, I actually do like him in New York. I think that there's a lot of teams that he does stuff for. You just have to be in a very specific position. Like, you can't have Jose Calderon if you're like, what do your team needs? Well, we really struggle at defense. Jose Calderon starting for you. That's not optimum. So I like that they, you know, I debated whether or not they actually need what they think they need, which is the rebounding shot blocking big. Yeah. But if you're going to get one, even though Tyson's getting up there and he's not the guy he used to be, I still really like it.
Yeah, I think you de-louse some of all that Knicks sludge. I think he's going to have a great year as long as he's healthy.
And I like where they're headed. I'm interested to see what they're going to do at point guard. That's
Do they go Harris? Do you think they tried to re-sign Harris and make him the guy?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I'm actually a little bit surprised that they haven't gone to the bank and thrown something ridiculous at Lowry.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they're trying to see if they can get Carmelo.
Yeah, but that would be my thing. I would be on the phone with Lowry's agent and be like, just don't sign anything. Just wait. Because if Melo doesn't go, I would. I would legitimately throw the bank at Kyle Lowry. I would make it impossible for Toronto to match. I really would. Yeah. I mean, there's not an RFA, but I'm just saying, like, he'll stay in Toronto if he gets the extra year. I would just throw an obscene amount of money. Because I continue to get the feeling that Ujiri's like, well, I really should re-sign him. I don't think he wants to. I really don't.
Looks good, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's less a matter of it looking good as it is not re-signing him looks so bad.
Yeah, that's true. Especially like just after the run you had, you were very competitive in the first round after not being there, and you could have easily moved on, right?
Your fans would think you're either stupid or cheap if you don't re-sign him.
Right.
The problem is that you're neither. You're just like, Lowry can't be the best player on a championship team.
I can't remember. I think maybe it was Royce that talked about, you know, back when Royce wasn't dead to us. I think it was Royce that talked to me on the podcast and said, like, you know, really the Thunder's problem with the whole Harden thing was they became too good too quick. Like, they didn't plan to become that good that quickly, you know? And so it put them in that position with the contracts. And with Toronto, like, I don't think they expected to be good after that Rudy Gay trade. And something, like, they lit a fire under them, and it was like, well, we can't break this up. It's too good, right? Like, not that it's going to be great forever, but it was like, we can't lose this momentum. Like, this, we have to see where this goes. And now it's kind of, they're in a position where, you know, I bet when Masai made that trade in, what was it, November, December, whenever it was, I bet he didn't think he was going to have to be in this position to re-sign Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad position to be in. It's just kind of like, I wonder if he had a plan B.
I mean, there's a reason that the rumors were Kyle Lowry to the Knicks for half the year. It's because,
right. Yeah.
Like, Ujiri, they basically had to win all the way until February for Ujiri to be like, okay, let's make a run. Let's do it.
Yeah. Where do you think Lowry ends up?
I no longer think the Heat.
No, I don't think that. I don't think it's a possibility. Yeah.
I would say I'm actually at the same place with Lowry to the Raptors as I am with Miami to the Heat, or with LeBron to the Heat, which is 85% he goes back.
Okay.
Just because they're so far into negotiations.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm like, I want better for both sides.
Yeah, I agree. I think he stays with the Raptors.
I don't get making him – you're talking about now if they re-sign Lowry – they're at $51 million for next season, and that's, let's say they drop Salmons and they drop, even if they were to waive Amir, which they probably won't.
Well, no, Salmons is gone.
Yeah, right, not Salmons.
Yeah, so they got Lou.
Lou, and
lose like five.
I just look at the new cap estimates, but they're still looking at like close to 65 to 70 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool that you made the first round, but you should have beaten Brooklyn. And the fact that you didn't kind of says something. And like, you're now looking at for the next 4 years or 3 years at least, your best players are one Kyle Lowry and two DeMar DeRozan. You can't get better. You can't. Yeah, not unless a superstar comes available.
And I know Raptors fans are big on DeRozan. They're big on Lowry. And you should be. They're fine players. Like, DeRozan's a lot better than I thought he was. Yeah. But there's a difference between like, oh, we're scrappy and we're good and these are our two best players, as opposed to these guys are going to be our two best players. And hopefully Valanciunas, you know, develops. Like, that's a bad position to put yourself in.
Here's a good question. Is this team built around Lowry, DeRozan, Ross, and Valanciunas? Is that team better than the post-Darren Williams Utah Jazz?
I mean, yeah, but what does that mean?
Right.
You know? I think they are, but like I don't think that's an accomplishment,
right? And they're definitely not better than the Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, Utah Jazz.
No, definitely not.
So I don't know. I just think it's weird. And yeah. Raptors fans, I mean, I don't know. A lot of this, and this is the same thing with the Wizards, where their fans just want to feel good, and I get that. I don't want to be like everything should be about championship. Like, I think it's fine to have reasonable expectations, but it should be like you have reasonable expectations with the possibility of be getting to the level that you want to be someday.
Yeah.
And the Wizards and Raptors are basically like locking themselves into being 3 to 4 seeds forever.
Which you can do in the East and be good, but don't expect a championship.
And don't really expect like contention, you know, and you're going to have bad years when things could, the other thing is there's a risk that things could fall apart.
Like, yeah. I mean, all right, we can talk about Gortat. Like, he signs what, 5 years, 60, 62, something like that. It's not bad, but you're going to pay him when he's like 35.
Yeah,
that's that kind of money. Like, that, it's just
like everyone. And like, I graded it badly this morning. I think it's, and apparently C minus is badly. I don't know. I'm just like, that's fine. Like, you pass.
Yeah, it's not a great move. Like, I would have given it a C plus, a B minus. Like, I'm higher on it than you are, but your reasoning was correct. It's just, do you think that they can buff that? Yeah,
it's nothing about Tot, and it's nothing about the money. The 12 is fine. That's good value. Like, JaVale's making 11. You got Gortat for a million more than JaVale.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, fantastic.
That's terrific. It's part of the larger plan. It's that they're going to re-sign Ariza to probably something between 9 and 11. You're going to have to pay Beal's extension, which could be the max.
It will be the max.
I looked at the numbers. They're looking at realistically $57 million for five players after Nene.
Yeah.
That's after Nene's expires. And if you're like, well, the cap's going to go up. Cool. Is it going to go up $10 million? Because otherwise you're in real trouble here. And you combine that with Whitman. This is a team going all in based off of 1 year of playoff success. And they should have made the playoffs last year. And it was a good team. Getting to the second round was because Derrick Rose got hurt and Tom Thibodeau's offensive philosophy is legitimately messed up. Like, they have severe problems on offense that no one wants to talk about because of how hard they play and how good they are at defense. That team is offensively damaged.
Yeah.
It could get a lot better in the next 10 days, but you can't look at the Wizards and say they were just the better team than Chicago when you have to factor in they were the better team than Chicago without Derrick Rose after trading Luol Deng.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of caveats to that. And again, I like the Wizards. I like watching them play. It was a fun team. But they have gone all in on older guys, on big money contracts built around Wall and Beal. And if your answer is, well, what else were they going to do? Sometimes you do have to take a step back in order to make sure you're doing the right thing long term.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're like, well, Beal and Wall are going to get better. Well, if Beal and Wall are going to get better, maybe you don't need Trevor Ariza and Martin Gortat. Maybe you can get away with other options. You can find something.
I don't mind the Gortat deal. Like, even 5 years, like, I'm not crazy about that, but I, you know, it's fine. Like, you have to pay for big men. Like, that's what happens. But then you add on Ariza's deal. I just don't think Ariza's good enough to have a long-term contract. And I know he was great for them last year, and he's improved as a shooter. I don't look at him and think, like, I need that guy for 4 years, 48. Or I need that guy for 4 years, 36. Like, that's way too big of a commitment to him to me. And maybe if you hadn't missed on the Otto Porter pick, you wouldn't be in that position.
Right. It's just a I just really worry about them long term, and maybe it'll work out. You know, maybe it's very possible that the Wizards could just be good, and they'll just be a really good team.
Yeah.
That's like a top three team over the next 4 years, and that's a good run for them, right? Without it crashing into the earth like the arena team did, that's good for the franchise.
Yeah, you have more solid ground than what that Wizards Gilbert Arenas, Nick Young, JaVale McGee team was like, and that's good. Like you have kind of similar risks, but the downfall of it is much, much, you know, better than what that was, right?
Right. I legitimately believe that John Wall, with the right number two next to him, could get to the point, and Beal too. Like, I think that team plus a third really good player in a down year for the league could conceivably contend for a championship. Like, I think that team, like, I think those guys could get good enough. And so I hate to see them not waste, but limit themselves by basically going all in on value guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, like, when Nene's at the end of his contract, can they turn him into a significant contributor? Like, trade him for a third guy. And if they can do that and you're willing to spend the tax or you're up against the tax or whatever, then it's fine.
And hey, if DeMarcus Cousins flips out and you want to trade and there's just no choice for them and you trade Nene and whatever else is going to be on that roster – you know, you can get DeMarcus Cousins, and then all of a sudden you got John Wall, Bradley Beal, DeMarcus Cousins. That's like a team.
Yeah.
This is an example of a team. So Miami, real quick.
Yeah, Miami, real quick. LeBron's getting the max.
Yeah.
Wade and Bosch are taking significant cuts, but we don't know how much. And it feels like they're running out of options.
This has been a really weird development because. Heat media is like the Godfather has a plan.
Yeah.
Like he will take care of this. Like they're going to pull off something massive. Like that was a rumor. It's like they've got something huge planned. And we're all like, oh, like it's Pat Riley, so he can do this. Like, wow, this is a thing. And there's the other part of you that's like looking at this logically, that not based off of like reputation. And you're like, but they're going to have like, $10 million
to pull off something huge.
To get like five guys in a rapidly expanding competitive market.
Right. And Lu Aldang isn't going to take less money. Allegedly.
And Gortat's off the board.
And Lowry's
and Ariza could be off the board by the end of the night.
Right.
And if those three guys are off the board, if you can't get Gortat and you can't get those guys, you're not signing Greg Monroe to a max.
Right. And you can like, if your backup plan is go get Marion, go get Vince Carter, go get, you know, re-sign Ray Allen, re-sign Udonis, go get some, you know, one more veteran player, that's fine, but that's not big.
I still think that's
it might be because Shane Battier gave you so little last year. I think it can be improving the roster. But you're still the best team in the East, and you're still going to the finals, and that's fine. Like, there is no challenger, right? Like, maybe if the Bulls get Melo and Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose again, all right, there's your challenge. But even then, I would still take the Heat. But is that enough to take out the Spurs next year or take out the Thunder or whomever? Like, that's a tough question.
And
this is the one time where, like, I get it. He's made sacrifices in the past and whatever. I think it's a mistake for LeBron to take the max.
Me too.
To demand it, you know? And it's not a bad move by Miami. And it's not – he's not, you know, a selfish prick who's egotistical and all that stuff. Like, I don't buy into any of that. But I do think it's kind of like you're demanding this, but, like, to me this is kind of like KG territory. KG wanted the gigantic contract, and he got it, but it handcuffed the Timberwolves. Now, these are completely separate situations, but the spirit of it is still, like, you want the big contract, but then you want changes to the roster, and there are these very real limitations on what teams can do. And so if things don't happen, you can be upset about it, but – you know, some of it is on you.
And I get the whole, like, it's an owner's league and you should be able to get yours and basically being like, you know, figure it out. But that's also not realistic.
Yeah, like, so I mean, you can luck
into
that.
You can take that approach and you're entitled to it, but it's just not realistic. You need to accept the fact that if he comes out and signs that deal and is like, you know, maybe it'll be harder, but we have confidence that me, Dwayne, and Chris can take this team with the guys that we've got. We feel confident in our guys and we're going to get it done.
Yeah, and you're a lock for the finals.
Yeah.
I would say that. Like, if that's what they end up doing, they're a lock for the finals. But being a lot, like, you're supposed to win championships, and maybe that's an unfair realistic, or maybe that's an unfair, you know, standard to say it's championships or bust, but that's kind of what they've painted themselves into.
And it's also, like, you saw how hard it was this year. It's only going to get harder.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe Wade reinvents his game. Like, Pat Riley said he needed to. Maybe you get through to him, and maybe he does that, and he's incredibly more effective next year, and they find a way to, like, kind of reshape that roster in that way. And if that happens, that's great. But that's a big if.
Now, I could see their big name being Pau Gasol. I could see Pau, of all the guys, being like, I'll take six. That's fine.
If that's the case, it's not going out and getting Kyle Lowry or Marcin Gortat, but that's a very, like, Pau is better than he's perceived, right?
Like, yeah.
Pau is your fourth guy. That's a really good fourth guy as long as he can walk.
Yeah. I mean, your rim protection is a little bit questionable.
But it has been anyway, right?
Right. And especially, like, you could get, like, Pau for six, Vince Carter for three.
Yeah. Resign Ray.
You know, and you're old, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
You're old, but you're better.
Right. And then, like, the other option, there are some options here. Like, I actually threw out one of getting Rodney Stuckey for four, getting Ray Allen back for three, and getting Josh McRoberts for four.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And then you've got three legitimate upgrades. There's also, there's things like...
You would also have a fan base and a media going, who? What did you guys just do?
Exactly. I think Emeka Okafor would be a pretty good pickup for them.
That's not a bad risk. I like that.
I think that. I like Sean Marion. I think Marion might take the dip and pay cut.
Yeah.
Because of what he's going to get offered.
Yeah.
I did have this idea earlier on and wanted to float it by you. What if Nick Young took $3 million?
I like it. Like, and I'm not. And this isn't just me being like, oh, I love Gunners. I love Nick Young. He fascinates me. He entertains me. Like, I think you put him in that environment, I think it's good.
Yeah. I think it'll be...
I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's workable.
We'll see if he can get his head in the right place to contribute, but...
Fantastic music scene in Miami. Iggy can move here.
Right.
It works.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh!
Oh, let's rank these three shooting guard signings. Jody Meeks, 3 years, $19 million. CJ Miles, 4 years, $18 million. And Ben Gordon, 2 years, $9 million.
From what? From best to worst?
Yes, from best to worst.
Well, best is CJ Miles.
I love that signing for the Pacers.
He can stretch the floor. He's a veteran guy. He's smart.
I think he's a better playmaker than he's shown. You know,
I'm excited about CJ. I'm excited about CJ passes to CJ for three.
Sure, synergy.
He's a smart guy. He can defend.
Yeah.
I think that it's. I just think that's a great signing.
Yeah.
God, second is tough.
It is tough, isn't it? Me personally, I would say Meeks. Because
yeah, I'll go Meeks because I'm not gonna let my revulsion to the revulsion my revulsion to the revulsion of Ben Gordon carry me too far. I think Meeks is I actually liked him in Philadelphia several years ago. I liked what he shot last year.
Yeah.
It is hard to be a guy that scores as many points as he did last year for the Lakers, even as terrible as they are. Just scoring points in the NBA is not something everybody can do.
And he was efficient at it.
Yeah, and he's efficient.
40,
I think it's
40% shooter. Yeah, and I'm a little surprised just because I look at – maybe I'm just too high on him, but I look at Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm like, I don't know. You've got a pretty good guy. And so I don't understand the 3 years, $19 million for Meeks, but he's a guy who is a proven shooter.
And so, I mean, Ben Gordon is last. The big thing that happened was, well, one, first guy reported he was guaranteed both years. Not the case. Second
year
is a team option. So it's 1 year, $4.5 million.
Right.
I look at it this way. A standard veteran contract for a guy that's not above 33 in this league is about $3 million. That's usually what you spend on a veteran is $3 million for pretty much anybody that's been in the league. Then you do another $1.5 million, essentially, to go to Orlando, which is a small market, and to play on a young team that's not going to be a playoff team. You're basically bribing him. Now, you can argue that the Magic shouldn't have to bribe him, because of how terrible he's been over the last 5 years. But if he's a guy that you want and that you feel comfortable with, they've also got the ability to do it. I believe that you have to – that there needs to be value in the money that you spend. I think that it goes beyond the cap. Like, it needs to be that what you pay for something needs to be good value. I just tend to think that if you're making – you're basically making a calculated risk here. You're saying he clashed with – God, who are the coaches?
Kuster was one. Chad Kuster.
He clashed with Kuster.
Michael Curry.
And Curry in Detroit.
Yeah.
And he clashed with Dunlap and
– Clifford.
Clifford in Charlotte. I also think that what happened was – Detroit was bad. He got in a bad environment. That entire thing was really
– it was awful.
It was just – like everything was terrible.
Yeah.
And I think he got poisoned in that regard. He was part of the poison, but he got poisoned there.
Yeah.
And he carried that with him to Charlotte and was like, this team's not going anywhere. Why do I care?
Yeah.
And I think that he genuinely looked at that situation and just didn't invest himself. And you can say, well, doesn't that say something about who he is? It definitely does.
Certainly.
But that's something that's pretty common in the NBA.
You and I have talked about this before, and I'm a big believer in this. Like, I don't believe there's such thing as a bad 2-year deal in this league under this CBA. Like, I just don't. Like, 2 years, 2-year deals, no big deal. Like, that's it's a 1 year, and then he's an expiring. And then, right, especially if it's a team option for the second year, like, even better. That's a 1-year deal. I don't believe there are bad 1-year deals in the league. But with Gordon, I think it's a mistake for him to go to a team that has no chance, right? And Orlando doesn't really, like, Orlando can be fun, but they're not really serious about playing yet. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded a Flalo, right?
Right.
And so, and they wouldn't have waived Jameer Nelson, which is fine. Like, those are good moves. I appreciate the moves. Like, I think that I like where they're going, but they're not going anywhere yet. And so, for me, unless Gordon is on a good team, I don't think he has value.
Right.
And I think it's because of everything you said about the time in Detroit and then what that carried over to Charlotte. And it's just a situation where if he had signed with, I don't know, a playoff team for $4 million over a year, people would have still had the same reaction. But I would have been like, no, he'll be engaged. That's fine. And so
there's
I don't think
he will not be engaged there.
Right. And I don't think it's a bad deal for Orlando. I'm struggling to see how it's a smart move for him other than he's getting $4.5 million next year.
Something interesting, and this is very nebulous, and I apologize for not having it more definitive. There are concerns in Orlando about the kind of locker room environment because they don't have enough veterans. Because of Jameer's situation and just his general personality wasn't all that – like, he's not – he knew he was kind of going to be on the way out, and he's just not the kind of guy. There's a concern, you know, it was a bad situation there as well, Glenn Davis. There's a concern about kind of the locker room situation, and Ben Gordon is not the guy that you bring in to steady that. Like, he could contribute to being worse. So there's definitely a risk. The only thing that I had in my mind was, what if I did have this immediate thought? What if he and Vaughn just clicked?
Yeah.
What if he and Jacques Vaughn, like, it just and his agent's going to be like, do you want to make any more money in the NBA as a ball player? Because if you do, you're going to need to have a really good year or we're not going to make any more money.
Right.
And so if Gordon kind of realizes this is it for him, I think he could engage. They need a shooter. He fills that role. And if the worst case scenario is just that he's another flaming disaster and he makes the team, he hurts the locker room chemistry and he just can't play and he just feuds with the coach – it's $4.5 million. You let him go next year, you're done.
Or you
use him as trade bait.
He's 31. Like, he could still have 7 years in this league if he wanted to.
Right?
Like, it's up to him how long he wants his career to go. And it's decisions like what you're talking about.
So, okay. Well, I guess we'll be back later on in the week after all the nonsense gets sorted out.
Yes, we will hopefully be back tomorrow, assuming we can do that. And then have a treat for the listeners on Friday. That is already done, and will be fun. Cool. Thanks, man.